How about this? Great. All right, everybody doing all right tonight? I feel like it's been forever since I've been up here with you guys, traveling a lot. And so it's a blessing to be back on Wednesday night. And I've just been reminded a lot lately of the importance of prayer and the importance of gathering to pray. A lot of churches have done away with their prayer meeting as something that's dispensable, but I think prayer is something, however you do it, you don't necessarily have to do it on a Wednesday night, but that you make it a vital part of the life of your church is indispensable. And often what happens maybe at other services comes from what gets prayed up at something like this. So we'll start out with a devotion tonight, and then we'll move into prayer meeting like normal. This will probably be the last time that I get to speak with you guys before Thanksgiving. So I wanted to do just something on Thanksgiving tonight. And the scriptures speak of Thanksgiving throughout. But just to get us started, we'll be in a number of places. We'll start out and I'll read portions of Psalm 105. And I'll pray for us and we'll get started talking about Thanksgiving. Can anybody believe that the holiday of Thanksgiving is almost here? Which means that Christmas is just right behind it, right? I can't even believe that. That's right. But it's almost here. So I'm going to read out of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are a people who are profoundly grateful. But Father, we are not nearly grateful enough. Lord, the things that You have done for us, the things that You have accomplished for us in Christ are things that we could never be thankful enough for, Lord. They're so wondrous. Your ways are so wondrous. And they're much too high for us. And so, Father, we pray that You would be with us tonight as we gather to learn from Your Word and to pray to You. We pray that Your Spirit would be in this place with us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so I'm not through with that. Thanksgiving is, it's almost here. It's one of my favorite holidays. I feel like somehow it has kind of missed all the hype that comes with maybe Halloween or Christmas, some of the secularization, some of the stuff that Walmart and Hallmark likes to do. Thanksgiving has missed that somewhat, and it's not necessarily a Christian holiday. Although Thanksgiving, of course, is very Christian, but it's one of my favorite because even when it gets twisted a little bit, it doesn't matter. It's not like you're messing with Christmas or Easter, so it's one of my favorites. So I'm glad that it's here. Not to mention, I like to eat, but I don't like turkey. Anyways, we think about Thanksgiving and the actual idea of the first Thanksgiving has taken a large place in sort of the American mind. So when we think about the holiday, and we'll probably see some decorations of pilgrims and Indians, and this is something that Americans have kind of taken to heart. And one of the interesting things about this idea of the first Thanksgiving, this event that happened, is all the stuff that's grown up around it, right? So there was this meal between some pilgrims and some Indians, you know, in New England. But then all this stuff has grown up around it. And so I want to just start out by giving five myths about the pilgrims and Thanksgiving. So this is, of course, not in Scripture, and we'll get to that important stuff in a minute, but it may be interesting. And this really comes from this Christian historian who I'm looking forward to reading this book over Thanksgiving called The First Thanksgiving, What the Real Story Tells Us About Loving God and Learning from History. So if any of you are kind of interested in that kind of thing, it'd be a good read. But here are five myths about the Pilgrims and Thanksgiving. So the first one is that the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. So if you were to go to Plymouth right now, and some of you may have been, you could go find a big rock where they would say that this is where the Pilgrims landed. But the truth is that they may have landed there. Just listen to how we have come to that conclusion. It says, "We know the location of the Pilgrims' landing because in 1741, which is 121 years after the Pilgrims arrived, a 15-year-old boy overheard 95-year-old Thomas Fonts relate that his father, who came to Plymouth 3 years after the Mayflower, told him that he'd been told by unnamed persons that the landing occurred there." I mean, that's like a game of telephone. So potentially that's where it happened, but the evidence is not super strong. The second myth is that the Pilgrims came to America in search of religious freedom. So a lot of times in America, you've got religious people who, like us, who like the idea of America being this sort of Christian nation, founded as a Christian nation. So it's easy to latch onto the Pilgrims as they're coming for religious freedom and, you know, amen to that. And that's partially true, except that they had religious freedom where they were in Holland. So before the Pilgrims came to America from England, they made a detour in Holland. They didn't like Holland because in Holland there was a lot of freedom. There was a lot of freedom to do all kind of crazy stuff. And so they didn't like what their kids were being exposed to. They were losing their British identity. And then also, it was very hard to make a living there. So really, the reason that the Pilgrims came to America is economic reasons. They thought that they could make a good living here. And then also, they felt like they could keep their British identity and not become Dutch like the people in Holland. The third one is that the Pilgrims' sort of celebration in 1621 was the first Thanksgiving. That's kind of what we recognize as the first Thanksgiving, but really what they were doing was something that had been done sort of time and time again since sort of the history that we have with the Native Americans had been recorded. So in Florida, the French had held something similar to Thanksgiving in 1564. So that's, you know, nearly 100 years before what we kind of think of as the first Thanksgiving. There's some very similar things already happening in different places. The next one would be that the Pilgrims were a humorless lot with a fondness for black clothes. So we kind of think of the Pilgrims were Puritans. And a lot of times we think of Puritans as being very dull. They couldn't laugh. They were really uptight. The reality is, and I won't go into it, but when they, one of the main leaders, William Bradford, it showed he had all kind of colorful clothes. This was actually a pretty lively group. But because of their religious beliefs, they got labeled as kind of this no fun Puritan group. And they were Puritans, but Puritans like to have fun too. And then fifth, the Pilgrims' Mayflower Compact was an early and noteworthy example of American democracy. So we probably heard, it's been since elementary school since I heard about it, but the Mayflower Compact, where they kind of make this agreement of how they're going to live in America, and a lot of people kind of point to it and say this is sort of the first idea of American democracy, except for that the whole thing starts out talking about how blessed they are to be living under the British king. And so it's really, there's some parts of it in there that if you take out and isolate, sound pretty democratic. But it's not quite the Declaration of Independence. In fact, pretty far from it. So those are just five myths to get us thinking about Thanksgiving. So if any of you in here are like super into American religious history and you want to come dispute me on them, that's fine. I'm not going to lose any sleep over whether they're right or wrong. But it is something that a lot of just different kind of myths have grown up around. But, excuse me, The important thing is what the scriptures say about Thanksgiving and about being a thankful people. And they don't tell us to have a meal every November, the scriptures do tell us to be thankful and to have times of celebration with thankful hearts to the Lord. And so I just want to look to five things, and they're going to be pretty quick, that the scripture says about Thanksgiving. So first, we give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we don't just give thanks to some general benevolent being. Now there's a lot of people in America who are going to sit down for a meal and have some kind of notion of thankfulness to this sort of vague God, and it's really only condemning them. It's not doing any good. I don't think God's going to be pleased because these people that have no faith in Jesus are kind of being thankful for a day. But it is a good opportunity for us to explain that, no, there's a specific God who created everything, and he's the one that we should be thankful to. And so just like we pray to the Father through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the same way we give thanks. And I'm getting that from Romans 1:8, which says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." So thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And then Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him," meaning Jesus. So that's how we give thanks. Second, Thanksgiving stands in opposition to sin. And so what I mean by this is that a lot of times the position in your heart is either going to be one of sin or one of thanksgiving. For example, I was talking to, let me read the scripture first. Paul says in Ephesians 5:4, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." So he's putting these two things in contrast to one another. So I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was telling me that, you know, he sees a pretty girl running down the road. You know, I don't know if you see what exercise wear looks like these days, but it's not a burqa. And, you know, you could kind of have a choice in that moment to think about, maybe even go somewhere that your mind shouldn't go, or to kind of turn away. And he said that the way that he uses to turn away is just, maybe he sees a pretty woman and he gives thanks to the Lord that this person's created in the image of God, that God creates, you know, wonderful, beautiful things. And it's really hard to thank God and sin by lust or using this person in your mind for your own means. Those two things just don't go together. And so when we exercise thanksgiving, it helps us fight a variety of sins. So maybe if you're tempted towards bitterness to someone, well, if you can find something to be thankful to God about, for it may help you overcome that bitterness. One pastor says, "The key to unlocking a heart of gratitude and overcoming bitterness and ugliness and disrespect and violence is a strong belief in God, the creator and sustainer and provider and hope giver. If we do not believe we are deeply indebted to God for all we have or hope to have, then the very spring of gratitude has gone dry." So this indebtedness to God gives us thanksgiving and helps us fight sin. Third, thanksgiving makes normal things holy. So 1 Timothy 4:4 says, "Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So thanksgiving sanctifies everyday things. Fourth, the gospel is the thing for which we should be most thankful. Generally, your level of thankfulness is determined by the worth of something given to you and the price that it cost the person giving it to you. And if that's the case, then we should be, there's nothing that we can be more thankful for than the gospel. Because there's nothing that matters without it, there's nothing more valuable, and there's nothing that ever cost anybody more. And so the gospel is the thing that we should be most thankful for. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. So Paul's thankful for the way the gospel has worked in someone's life. And then finally, thanksgiving is prescribed for all circumstances. So it's great, to have a meal where we kind of set aside time to be thankful. But God's word in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's one thing to have a meal once a year, and it's another thing to be thankful always. And sometimes it's really hard to be thankful in all circumstances. Really hard. There are some of you who I would imagine, and I don't know what all is going on in your life, but just by virtue of having a bunch of people in a room, there's some things going on that are going to make it really hard to feel thankful at Thanksgiving. And you're going to wonder why the lot rolled as it did for you, what the Lord's purpose is it fair? And the Lord tells us to be thankful. So how are we to do that? Well, I think that we can only do that when we recognize that whatever our circumstances are, God is doing something much more than just randomly putting us in some bad situations. That He's got a lot bigger purposes, that our sufferings, that our hardships aren't random, but they're redemptive. As Romans 8, 28 and 29 tells us, we know that those who love God, that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And so, in order to be thankful in all circumstances, you have to understand what the Lord's doing. And you have to understand that He's trying to make you into someone who looks like Christ, who is holy like He's holy, who is loving like He's loving. That's His goal. It's not your comfort, not here, not on this earth. It's not your well-being. It's not your health. But it's something much bigger than that. And that's the only way you can be thankful through all things. So as we think about praying tonight, as we begin our prayer meeting, I hope that we can pray with hearts of thanksgiving and that we can move through this whole season, just being attentive to that. Any questions or comments?